Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, that's an interesting passage from John, isn't it? It's chock-a-block full of sayings and stuff going on. And sometimes passages seem to encapsulate all of Scripture in them. This is not one of those times. But there's some strange stuff going on here. I know nothing about agriculture other than that I am a beneficiary of its products. I suspect the people listening to Jesus back then knew something about agriculture, not in the sense that they had big farms with combines, not that they had involved in genetic engineering with seeds, but they knew about planting, they knew about reaping, they knew about growing things. And Jesus here tells us about seeds needing to be buried, needing to die, if they're to have new life. Now, we know a seed does not die when it goes into the earth. But to the casual observer, it might look like it is being buried dead. But we know that seeds will sprout and they'll grow, and hopefully we'll have stuff growing here in the near future. How do you feel in your life? Do you ever feel that you need to sprout again and have a new beginning? Now, I don't think anybody here, myself included, wants to be compared to a seed. But Jesus often uses examples that we may not choose. Jesus wants to grab us by the lapels and shake us and get us to think about things. The story's got a lot going on, I've said. I'll say it again. So let's start at the beginning. Greeks want to see Jesus. Who are these Greeks? What does that mean? Well, Greeks is a nice way of saying foreigners, outsiders, strangers, people outside of the community of Israel. Hellenism was the dominant culture in the Middle East, and foreigners were referred to as Greeks. And some of them heard about Jesus, and they were interested in him, and they wanted to know more. And then Philip and Andrew, the disciples who have non-Hebrew names, they have Greek names, report this news to Jesus, and Jesus tells them these things about the hour of man coming, how he's going to die, the seeds. All of this takes place just after Jesus has entered Jerusalem. So we're not going to have a big Palm Sunday reading from the Gospel of John. But Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was a big event. And I'll preach more about that next week. But this week, we're going to anticipate some of the fallout from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Jesus has some weird news to share with these Greeks and with us. God is going to be glorified. Now, if you think about a leader being glorified now, what would you imagine? A parade, maybe? Trumpets sounding? A full crowd, a crowded house of people rising and applauding? That's not what Jesus is looking for. God being glorified is not the way humans would be glorified. Jesus was not looking for a big parade with tanks and soldiers and elephants and all sorts of hoo-ha. That's not what Jesus is about. So our world and everything we prioritize doesn't matter to Jesus. Jesus cares about people. Jesus cares about how people treat one another. And I can keep saying this over and over again, week after week, month after month, and maybe someday you'll get sick of it and you'll say, stop preaching that. But Jesus loves you. Jesus loves each and every one of us. So there's some Christians who want to say Jesus loves us. But Jesus never says, I don't dislike the other people. Jesus doesn't vote anybody off the island. And it's right here in Scripture. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. All people. Everyone. Straights, gays, blacks, whites. You can go through the lists in your mind. Everybody counts to God. Now, Lent, as I've said a lot, is a time for us to repent and to reflect. And I'd like us to reflect on those people we don't like. And maybe it's people who talk differently from us. Maybe it's people who dress differently than us. Maybe it's people who come from some other place. Maybe it's people who harbor different political opinions. Guess what? God loves them just as much as he loves us. All of us. Now, maybe you want to worship a God who is a little bit more exclusivist. Well, that's not the God we preach about in this church. That's not the God we pray to in this church. Everybody is welcome. All of you are welcome. All the people who are online at Salt Hill this morning were welcome. And I have to confess, I would love to see the day we had that kind of line out in front of the church. But we don't see that line. I don't know what those people are looking for. I lived in Boston for many years. I never went to a bar on St. Patrick's Day. Why I would want to deal with those crowds, I have no notion. But apparently some people like to be in the mix of things. And you can get into the bar at 9 o'clock after waiting for 2 hours to get in. And then you have to wait another hour until they give you a beer. And you pay three times as much for that beer as you would for a six pack at the store. But supposedly it's fun. And you feel good about it. And then the fun ends. And you have to go home. And maybe you've had one too many beers and you've got a hangover. Where's the upside in that? We've all been like that at one point or another in our lives. Maybe we haven't had drinks. Maybe we haven't smoked pot. Maybe we haven't abused drugs. But we've had things that we have focused on too much. Maybe our jobs. Maybe our things. Maybe our position in a community. All the things that draw us away from God. All the things will ultimately not provide us with meaning. So let's think again about Jesus. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? And my hope is we'll not just think about Jesus during the worship service, but the rest of the week, and the rest of the month, and the rest of our lives. Because Jesus came to this earth. God came to this earth and walked the earth and lived as one of us, and died as one of us. And why did God do that? Well, John tells us it's because he so loved the world. That's a big deal. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the passage from Jeremiah this morning. But I do want to say that if you have some supersessionist tendencies or beliefs that God has dumped the Jews because God wanted another people, that is not what the passage is saying in Jeremiah. God renewed the covenant. He reinvigorated the covenant. But God did not abrogate the covenant. And I see nothing in Scripture that says God breaks his promises. You can take that to the bank. Now, I know that the bank will probably not want to give you any credit for that. But I do think it's something you can count on. That God has made a deal with humanity. God doesn't need us. Oh, sure, God would like for all of us to worship him. But the act of worship is not meant to take place in private, alone. We're meant to worship together. And it's great to hear one another's voices singing. And maybe you can get a sense of what heaven is like. Now, I will tell you, I have no notion of what the afterlife is like. Nobody does. Nobody has been there, except perhaps Lazarus, and he didn't leave behind any memoir. And Jesus did not tell us about it. But C.S. Lewis said, if you aim for heaven, you might get earth in that too. But if you aim for earth, you will get nothing. Think about that. Aim high. Dream big. And dreaming big is something a community should do. And it's something we should do in our own lives. That doesn't mean we should entertain wild, crazy, bizarre notions about what we can do. I am not going to be playing in the major leagues. And my suspicion is none of you will ever either. I suspect I am never going to win $1 billion. My suspicion is that is true of you too. But my life counts. Your life counts. What we do in this life matters. And yes, sometimes we may want to feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we might do things we shouldn't do. And what should we do then? Well, we can repent. We can ask God for forgiveness, for letting things come between us and God. And we can also ask God for forgiveness for letting things come between us and our fellow people. Now, Lent is going to come to a formal end at the end of this month with the start of Easter and the Eastertide season. But guess what? Your time to ask God for forgiveness and to make things right will not come to a close on March 31st. There is no sell-by date for penitence. We all need to repent for something. There is nobody here, myself included, who lives a blame-free life. Look at your neighbors. Come on, look. What did you see? My hope is you didn't look at that person and say, oh my God, there's a sinner. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Because that person could have looked back at you and seen just the same thing. We are all in the same boat. So yes, this story that we hear in the Christian church is a strange one. God loved us so much that God came down in the person of Jesus and then went through all of the, pardon my language, the crap that we humans have to deal with. And then to say thank you, the most powerful country in the world, nailed him up to a cross, and his own community ignored him. Thanks, humanity. We really haven't covered ourselves with glory, have we? And yes, I can talk about all the good things humanity has done. all the great things we can do. But what drives us forward? Are we chasing the almighty dollar or fame or physical gratification? Or are we looking for more? Look in your heart. Look at those things that really matter to you. Look at those people again. I'm glad to see some people are doing that. We matter to one another. And yes, there may be times that we want to dope slap one another. But we keep coming back. I feel blessed to be part of this community. I hope you do too. And yes, there may be stranger things out there, but these are the things and these are the blessings that God has given us. Let's join together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, and we thank you for the gift of Easter, which is quickly coming upon us. Help us to give thanks for all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.